12 again. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We've been looking at spiritual gifts for 4 weeks now. Not consecutive weeks, but that's the main study we've been doing on Wednesday night. We're going to continue that this evening. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And let's go ahead and read verses 4 through 7 again. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. Let's pray again. Dear Lord Jesus, help us, Father, to please understand the message. Lord, this is very important that we understand our spiritual gift and be able to use it properly. Father, I pray that each one of us would desire to use our gift through the church and be a blessing to others around us. Bless now, I pray, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. So we have covered gifts and we've covered ministries in the last few weeks. And I want to introduce the idea of manifestations or operations, if you will, by first reviewing what we know. Do another in-depth review so that we be sure we get it and understand it well before adding more information on top of it all. Okay? So first of all, could I have the lights? I'll just turn these lights off. Let's see, how dark is that? Is it going to be? Can everybody see that? Is that okay? All right. First of all, every believer was given a motivation to serve God when they got saved. The Bible calls that motivation your spiritual gift. Okay? It's mentioned in verse 4. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. The term gift, though, can be confusing, especially to young people. It was to me when I was younger. It really, really was confusing. So, if the term gift is confusing to you, replace it with the term blessing. Blessing. Your spiritual blessing. In other words, do not think of your spiritual gift as something tangible, as something that's in a box and wrapped up. It is not something that you can hold in your hand. It can't be put under the Christmas tree. It can't be put beside the birthday cake on the table, okay? Your spiritual gift, all of them, they are blessings. Blessings. Blessings from God. They are not literal things like a book, okay? When we talk about spiritual gifts, we're not talking about a thing that we can hold in our hands. The gifts or the blessings, the spiritual blessing that you receive from God, your motivation to serve God, each one, remember there are seven, each one is very properly not a thing, but a desire, a desire. When you were born again, God placed within you a desire to serve Him in a specific way. And a desire to do something is called a motivation. So that's why we're calling them motivational gifts. It's your motivation to serve God. And again, your blessing, if you will, or your motivation is here again here on the board. They are the seven motivational gifts. Or blessings are, number one, you could have a desire to proclaim the word or prophecy. You could have prophecy, you could be a prophet. You could have a desire to serve for Christ's sake. You could have a desire to teach the gospel. And notice I'm using the three words, the word, Christ, and gospel interchangeably. That way I'm trying to help us to understand this idea better. You can interchange those words. number four, you could have been given as your blessing from God when you got saved a desire to exhort or to encourage others in the word. You could have been given the blessing, a desire to give for Christ. You could have been given the desire to be a coordinator or to organize, administrate, supervise efforts for the gospel. You could have been given the desire to offer and show mercy or share in and relieve distresses of others for the word's sake, okay? This is what we're talking about. These are your gift. These are your gift or your blessing, okay? One of these is, if you've been born again. Now, the question could be asked by a young person especially, why is it called a spiritual gift? Well, there are four major reasons why God didn't call it a blessing. Instead, he called it a gift. Because, first of all, it literally was given to us from God. It literally was a gift, freely given by God to us at the time of our conversion. So gift was a more proper term than blessing. Okay? But again, keep thinking of it as a blessing. Why is it called a spiritual gift? Number one, because it literally was given by God to you. Number two, it is a spiritual blessing from the Lord that motivates us to serve Him and thereby be pleasing to Him, which in the long run, in turn, gives us a closer walk with the Lord. Okay, so God enabled us to have a closer walk with Him. And that closer walk with Him is a huge gift to us. God didn't have to. You two girls, put the Bible away and look at me. Don't touch any books again. God didn't have to, when He saved us, He did not have to say, I am going to walk beside you. God is God, and God is way far above us in holiness. God could have said, you're saved, but I'm going to stay way up here. I'm holy. I've given you my holiness, but you're still not holy like I am holy. So there's still going to be a big separation between you and I. God could have done that, okay, if He so wanted. But He didn't do it. He didn't make salvation like that. He made salvation so that He would become closer than a brother to us, the Bible tells us. Okay? So He gave us a blessing to enable us to have a closer walk with Him. A huge gift from God. Therefore, that's the second reason why it's called a gift. Number three, He gave us a blessing that enables us to have a closer walk with the Lord, which in turn also results in our earning rewards from Christ in eternity, in heaven, okay? And again, God didn't have to offer rewards to us when we get to heaven. That, again, is another huge gift from God. So that's three reasons. And then the fourth reason is, because the performing or the doing or the action of one of these seven types of blessings is literally a free spiritual gift or a free blessing to another person. Let's pretend that you are a giver this evening. You giving something to me is a blessing to me. It's a gift. You didn't have to do it, but it's a gift. And so the blessing God gave to us for us to use becomes a free gift to others when we use it properly, okay? So these are four reasons why God called it a spiritual gift, even though that term could be confusing. So I don't want us to be confused. Think of it as a blessing to use to be a blessing to other people. Okay, no matter which, again, spiritual gift is the one that we were given. In other words, no matter which one is our blessing, no matter which one is our motivation, no matter which blessing He gave us of the seven He gave us. I lost my place here. We are taught by the whole of Scripture, no matter which one we have, that we are taught by the rest of Scripture that we are to perform all seven of those actions, those seven actions that those seven gifts represent. Again, prophecy, serving, teaching, exhorting, giving, coordinating, offering, offering mercy. No matter which one of those God put in our heart as our motivation to serve Him, the rest of Scripture tells us we're to fulfill all of those anyway. No matter which one we like to do, God says, well, that one was the one that I gave to you to be a special blessing to you, but do all of them anyway. Okay? For instance, everyone is to proclaim truth, not just those who have the gift of prophecy. 1 Corinthians 14:1 tells us, follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that ye may prophesy. 1 Corinthians 14:39, wherefore, brethren, covet to prophesy. 2 Timothy 4:2, preach the word. Preach the word, okay? So everyone, no matter what gift or blessing you have from the Lord, is to proclaim truth to others. Everyone is to serve others. Galatians 5:13. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. Matthew 25:40. And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Mark 10:43. But so shall it not be among you, but whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister, and whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be servant of all. So everyone is to serve. The Bible tells us that plainly. Number three, everyone is to be teaching or instructing others, not just those with a gift of teaching. Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. And Matthew 28, the Great Commission, go ye therefore and teach all nations. Okay? Number four, everyone is to be exhorting or encouraging others. Hebrews 3:13, but exhort one another daily while it is called today. Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Okay? Number five, everyone is to give, be giving, or share with others the bounty God has given to us. Matthew 10:8, freely ye have received, freely give. Luke 6:38, give, and it shall be given unto you. Romans 12:13, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Number six, everyone is to organize. 1 Timothy 3:4-5. One that ruleth well his own house, or he has organized his house well, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Proverbs 16:32, he that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city. 1 Corinthians 14:40, let all things be done decently and in order. Everyone's to organize, everyone is to show mercy. Matthew 5:7, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Galatians 6:2, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Colossians 3:12, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind. Okay? So even though you've been given one special one that God put in your heart, that God made as something that you want to serve God with, God says, don't forget all the rest. Use all of them to serve me. One is easy for us. The rest we have to work a little bit harder for. And number eight, it is only as we learn the skills of the other six gifts, the ones that we don't have, it is only as we learn the skills of the other six gifts or blessings, how to bless others with the other six that don't motivate us to serve God, that we will be able to use our own blessings or gift effectively, okay? When we learn how to use all of these tools that God gave to the church to be a blessing to others, that is when we are the most effective with the gift that he has given to us. So a great way to remember and understand your spiritual gift is that it is simply the desire or motivation God gave you to serve him with a specific way or in a specific way to bless others. And that specific way is the gift. Giving or teaching or proclaiming truth or showing mercy. That's the specific way that God gave to you to be a blessing to others. Okay, then there are, so those, again, those are the gifts or the blessings that God gave to us. Then there are ministries that we looked at within the church that God wants each of us to have a part serving Him through. These ministries are called, in the Bible, they're called the administrations of the gifts. Look at verse 5. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. Okay? Now, this word administration simply means ministries. Ministries. So there are different ministries within the church. God wants each of us to use our blessing in. And of course, we serve in one ministry at a time, but the Lord's will is for every believer to serve in all ministries of the church with their spiritual gift at some point in time. Okay? At different times. And again, we looked at the ministries of the church last week, but let's real quickly look at them again to review. The ministries of the church are, first of all, number one, the ministry of an apostle. And the word apostle means sent forth one, which means an evangelist or a missionary. Okay, so evangelism and missionary work is the number one ministry of the church. Number two, ministry of prophets. They proclaim the truth, so preaching the word. Ministry of teachers. Teachers explain the word and train others in the word. Ministry of miracles. These are prayer warriors and givers for the needs of others. Ministry of healings. Again, these are prayer warriors for the physical health of others. And then ministry of helps. This is physical labor to bless others and or free others for other Christian endeavors, for other Christian labor. Then the ministry of governments. It's, for the most part, it is maintaining church business properly. And number eight, the ministry of tongues. That includes translating scripture, translating sermons, interpreting for preachers, or interpreting during evangelism and outreach. It could include printing and distributing gospel literature in foreign languages. This is all would all fall under the ministry of tongues. No matter which motivation you have, whatever blessing you have, every believer is supposed to serve God and can serve God in every ministry or administration of the church. Okay? So that's the review. And before we go on to new things, I want us to look at a little diagram here. Is the only information that we know that is kind of a simple illustration of what we're going to be getting into. Okay? You have a gift. This is you. You have one out of seven gifts that God put in your heart. I wrote giver on this person. So this person is you. You're a giver. God has different ministries in the church, eight of them, that He wants you as a giver to work through each and every one. At different times. Okay? Each one of us has one primary gift. Each one of us, God expects us to use that gift in every aspect of the church ministries. Okay? And then, I'm for sake of simplicity, so that you can understand it and get a hold of it before I add more information, I simply took the gifts of the seven gifts and put them over here because they're really close to what is the action that God wants us to use them. The actions that God wants us to use our gifts exactly like, okay? So you're to take your gift as a giver and use them in every ministry of the church and do each and every one of... Now we lost our pen. Each and every one of the actual jobs or actions that there are for us to do. We're to proclaim truth. We're to serve others. We're to teach others, exhort others, give to others. We're to organize and show mercy, okay? So you can take the gift and apply it through the church ministries and just flip the gifts over. And that's a simple illustration of what we're going to be talking about while we add new information over here, okay? The gifts are really close to the gifts themselves, the blessings themselves are really close to the actual action
the actual manifestation of how God wants us to employ our gift. Okay, does that make sense? All right. So now that we've seen that, maybe we won't get confused. All right? I'm going to set that down. You can keep looking at it a little bit. Okay, but there are specific actions or jobs to be done with our gift through the church for a member or several members of the body of Christ, for members of the church or for lost people, like evangelism for the lost. These jobs or actions are the operations or manifestations of the gift. Okay, so now go with me, please, to 1 Corinthians 12 and look at verse 6. And there are diversities of operations, talking about the action, the job. But it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. Again, the word manifestation is the same, is very close to the word operation. They work together to basically mean the same thing, okay? Operation and manifestation. It's the action. It's the outpouring. It's the working out. It's the visible, what you see when somebody does what they're supposed to do. Okay? Now, verse 8. Now it gives us the list of jobs, the list of actions to be done for the profit of the body of Christ with our one gift working through the ministries of the church to specific people or groups within the church or the lost. Verse 8, for to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another, divers kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. Okay? This is the list. So let's go through them one at a time. To one is given the word of wisdom. Turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 8. Jeremiah chapter 8. And let's let God's word interpret itself. What does God mean when he says the word of wisdom? What's God talking about? Jeremiah chapter 8 and verse 9. The Bible says, the wise men are ashamed, they are dismayed and taken. Lo, they have rejected the word of the Lord, and what wisdom is in them? They have rejected the word of the Lord, and because they have rejected the word of the Lord, what wisdom is in them? So very, very literally, when the Bible here in 1 Corinthians 12 says, to one is given the word of wisdom, it is very specifically saying that they're talking about a spiritual insight or instruction from the Bible, God's word. A word of wisdom is a spiritual insight or instruction from the Bible, God's word, according to God's word. That's what it is, a word of wisdom. And then number two, okay, so spiritual insight or instruction could be from the pulpit, could be one-on-one. So as we use our gift of giving through the church, as you use your gift of giving as a teacher, and then apply it to giving a word of wisdom, okay? You are giving wisdom by teaching wisdom to somebody else. And that word of wisdom is teaching something out of the word of God, the word of wisdom. Number two, or letter B on our chart. It's too bad that system always changes my font, the way it's laid out. It was laid out properly, I'm sorry. But when it got here, it got changed. Letter B, to another, the word of knowledge. To another, the word of knowledge. So the word of wisdom is instruction from the Bible, God's word. What, therefore, is the word of knowledge? Turn with me to Hosea chapter 4. Hosea chapter 4. Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah. Hosea chapter 4 and verse 1. Hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel. For the Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. These three things are hooked together. There is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. Okay, and in 1 Corinthians it said, the word of knowledge, the word of knowledge. So truth, you cannot have truth without the knowledge of God. You cannot have mercy without the knowledge of God. Okay? And so very, very simply put, when you boil that down, the knowledge of God applied to human morality, truth and mercy. The knowledge of God is inherently linked to human morality, truth and mercy. So therefore, applying the Bible's teaching of God to how we are to behave is what it means when it's talking about the word of knowledge. Apply the Bible's teaching of God to human behavior, how we are supposed to behave according to God's word. Okay, so we're talking about moral behavior, right and wrong. Not necessarily about God himself, not necessarily about heaven itself, not necessarily about hell, but what God says, how we are to behave, moral behavior. To another, the word of knowledge. Okay? I believe that's what it's talking about. So we've got the word of wisdom means spiritual insight. Spiritual, not moral now. Spiritual insight or instruction from the Bible, God's word. And then word of knowledge is the Bible's teaching of God applied to how we are to behave, applied to human morality. Number three, the Bible says back in 1 Corinthians 12, to another, faith by the same Spirit. Okay, to another faith, but what's the rest, what's the whole statement? Well, when you go back to the very beginning of the verse, you apply 4:2:1. 4:2:1 is given faith by the same Spirit, okay? That would be the whole phrase applied to each and every one of these. 4:2:1 is given faith by the same Spirit. So what does that mean? Well, let's go to Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11. What is the working out or the job of faith that we are to do for people by using our gift? Hebrews 11, well, the Bible says, now faith, verse 1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is the substance, the tangible, it's not truly tangible, but A substance is tangible. Faith is the substance, or what makes up things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Okay, so what is it that Christians are hoping for? What is it that Christians are hoping for? Well, they're hoping for spiritual things. They're hoping for things of God. They're hoping for, not hoping as in I wish it would happen, but they're looking forward to that kind of hope. They're looking forward to things of Christ. They're looking forward to things of God. They know it's going to happen. These are the things hoped for. Okay? And that says the evidence of things not seen. Of course, we don't see heaven yet. We don't see God yet. We don't see the end result of what's going to happen. But faith enables us to understand that these things are going to happen. So, 4:2:1 is given faith by the same Spirit. Faith is looking for things that are going to come to pass. You believe they are going to come to pass, but you cannot see them yet. So, it's talking about enabling faith. Enabling faith. 4:2:1 is given faith. In other words, we're to pass on faith to others. We're to pass on the hope or the looking forward to of spiritual things. We're to pass on the hope or looking forward to that Jesus Christ is going to return. We are to pass on or build up in others the idea that we are to live for Christ. So 4:2:1 is given faith by the same Spirit. I believe it means it's scriptural instruction that enables faith in another person. Scriptural instruction that enables faith in another person. And this is why it's very similar to the list the list of gifts. This is very similar to the exhorter and the work of an exhorter. Scriptural instruction that enables faith or builds up faith in another person. Number four, to another, going back to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I'm sorry? Thank you. Verse 9. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. Okay? To another, the gifts. Notice the word gifts. Okay? That's pretty important in this one. It is a gift of healing by the same Spirit. Referring to a spiritual gift, referring to something that you and I cannot get our hands on. Something that God does. Something that God does. It is a gift from God. It says gift here, indicating that we don't have any part of it physically. We can't actually get a hold of this. We can't actually touch this gift. It's a spiritual thing. It's a gift from God. All healing is from God. But as we know from our gifts, and as we know from the healings, the gifts of healings, the ministry, we can work together with God in this gift of healing. We can work together with God through prayer for physical healing for others. So that is the outpouring. Being a prayer warrior, in other words, is the outpouring of healing, of the ministry of healings in the action of the ministry of healings. Being a prayer warrior and praying for others that they would be healed, that is the outpouring of that ministry. It's the actual action of the ministry is to pray for others that they would be healed. Okay? And then it says to another, the working of miracles. Interesting of the wording. God did it on purpose, I believe. He said in the last one, the gifts of healing, only God can do that. This one he says, the workings of miracles. Now we know that only God can do miracles, but in a way, we can partner with God physically in this one. The primary way, of course, as we learned from the gift of miracles over here, the ministry of the church, the primary way to be involved is, again, prayer. Praying for the need for God to meet the needs of others, and in that way, do miracles for people. But God says, this one is a work, the working of miracles. So once in a while, as we learn from the ministry, once in a while God allows us to be able to meet the need. We actually physically are allowed to partner with God on this one. And sometimes we are allowed to physically meet the need and provide the funds, the money necessary to meet the physical need. Okay? This is a big part of being a giver here. Meeting the physical needs of others by giving. So once in a while, primarily we are the action or the manifestation of working in the gifts of, the outpouring of the working of miracles is primarily prayer, but once in a while, God says, I've given you some extra, you give it to that person and meet that need physically. And we work together with God through prayer and our giving to meet physical needs. And then number six, I believe it is, letter F. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, prophecy. Again, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. What does it mean when somebody is to prophesy in the New Testament? 1 Corinthians 14, verse 3. But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort. So, the action of prophecy is simply sharing truth to others in order to edify them or exhort them or comfort them. or both, or two or three of those. Okay? The outpouring of or action of prophecy is literally the sharing of truth, the Word of God, primarily the Word of God, to edify them, exhort, or comfort them. And this easily includes instruction, teaching someone about prophecy, actual prophecy that hasn't happened yet, like the book of Revelation. So you can edify a group of believers by teaching on Revelation things that have not happened yet. That Christ is going to return. Christ is going to defeat Satan. That's edifying and exhorting people. And comfort that Jesus Christ wins on the last page. So studying prophesy, the literal studying and teaching of prophecy fits right into the outpouring or the action of prophecy. Then number seven, or letter G. To another, the Bible says, to another, discerning of spirits. And this is a big and important one. To another, discerning of spirits. What in the world is discerning of spirits? Go with me to 1 John, please. 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. And look at verse 1 through 3. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. Now this is not just referring to if for some reason a demon-possessed person walked in the door and you came across someone like this and you wanted to see if they were saved or if they were possessed by a devil. And this is not only talking about the devil would never be able to say that Jesus Christ is Lord. The devil will never say that. The devil will never confess that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. However, it does cover that. It is talking about that, but it's not just that. The word confesseth here, the word confesseth literally means to assent to something, to acknowledge something, to profess that something is true, to promise that something is true. In other words, this passage is teaching that everything has a spirit behind it. All teaching, every teaching, whether no matter what kind of teaching it is, false teaching, false doctrine, Hindu, every teaching has a spirit behind it. Every video that Hollywood has put out has a spirit behind it. Every action has a spirit behind it. Okay? Everything teaches of a spirit. Okay? We are to accept things. This passage is telling us that we are to accept things into our lives and homes that give assent to acknowledge or profess or shows promise to the fact that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. Those are the things we are to allow into our lives. On the converse side of that, we are to reject from our lives anything that teaches of a different spirit. A different spirit. For instance, and there are tons of different spirits that are not pleasing or in accordance with God's word. A rebellious spirit. Oh, there's lots of movies that show rebellious spirits out there. An idolatrous spirit. An adulterous spirit. An angry spirit. A devilish spirit, and of course, the spirit of Antichrist. All these would fit under the spirit of Antichrist, under that umbrella. But that's what it's talking about. Try what you allow into your life. Is there a different spirit than a biblical spirit pushing and behind this thing. It could be a teaching. It could be a game. It could be a video. Okay? Anything. Everything has a spirit behind it. Is it a good spirit? A spirit of meekness? A spirit of honesty? A spirit of diligence? What spirit is behind it? That's what these verses are talking about. Okay? Now go with, knowing that now, go with me to 1 Corinthians 2. 1 Corinthians 2. Verse 15. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. Okay? To another discerning of spirits. Again, each one of us are to use our gift in every ministry of the church, in every action. Okay? Nobody is not to discern spirits. We're all to do this job. Discern spirits. He that is spiritual judgeth all things. This particular job very literally fulfills a verse. Go to Ephesians chapter 5. The actual outpouring of discerning of spirits, the actual action of discerning of spirits is literally a verse. Ephesians 5:10. Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. That is discerning of spirits. That's exactly what it is. Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. That is the outpouring of discerning of spirits. Okay? That's job number 7, I believe that is. Number 8, or letter H. To another, divers kinds of tongues. I lost my place. Somebody read the rest of that verse, please. 1 Corinthians 12.
Another divers kinds of tongues. Another the interpretation of tongues.
Thank you. To another divers kinds of tongues. We learned from the church ministries, the idea behind tongues is languages. So if somebody is going to have the action or the manifestation of working with different, that's what divers means, different kinds of tongues, you're going to be working to get the gospel to those of other languages. You're going to be working to get the gospel to those of other languages, and into the gospel into other languages. Now, perhaps that means you're going to literally preach in a different language. Perhaps that means you're going to translate the Bible into a different language. Perhaps that means you're going to translate a tract into a different language. Perhaps that means you're going to print a tract in a different language. Okay, there's all sorts of things that could fall under this umbrella. And then the next one, to another, the interpretation of tongues is the same thing, only it's not getting it out to a tongue that you don't know. It's bringing the gospel into the tongue you do know, the language you do know. Okay. So, diverse kinds of tongues would be working to get the gospel out to those of other languages and into other languages. The interpretation of tongues is working to bring the gospel to you, to your language. And, of course, in English, it's already done. We don't really need to work too hard in this one. But for other people groups, this is a big one. They have to work hard to bring the gospel, the Word of God, into their language. They have to work hard to get tracts translated into their language to pass out, and gospel literature translated into their language. So that's what these last two are talking about, getting the gospel to other languages and getting the gospel into your language. So these are the literal outpourings, the literal actions or operations or manifestations of how you use your gift through the church. Any number of church ministries, any one of 8 church ministries, to get truth, the Word of God, to teach others, to share with others, to build up others. And I will probably have at least one more lesson on this to try to delve into this idea of actions a little bit deeper and break it down a little bit more. But these are the actual outpouring. Verses 8 through 10 is the literal working out of the gift through the church properly, and then for other people, doing work, the work of the Lord for other people. And notice verse 11 in closing. But all these jobs, all these manifestations, all these actions of working for the Lord, all these worketh that one and the self same Spirit. All of them work together to edify one Spirit, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Spirit Himself, the Holy Spirit, divides to every man severally as He will. But all these worketh that one and the self same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as He will. So, you and I have been given a different gift, possibly a different dose of a gift, a blessing again, not a tangible boxed gift, but a blessing in our heart. We've been given a different blessing, one of seven different blessings. There are eight ministries of the church to use it in, and there are nine different actions specifically mentioned that you can use your blessing outwardly to bless others with. Okay? And this is how God uses Christians in the church to get His gospel spread throughout the world and to edify the church. So we'll have at least one more to get in the actions deeper. Maybe one at a time, or I'll take one and break one down real good so that we can understand it a little bit better, or something like that. But let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, thank You for Your word. Father, I pray that we would understand how to use our gift properly within the church. In Jesus' name, amen.